Welcome to the Message for the Hour program. Through the years of broadcasting, we have endeavored to clearly present the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe that Christ is the answer for the needs of men, women, boys and girls, and certainly we are living in perilous times, in difficult times. And in times like these, you need a Savior. In times like these, you need an anchor. In times like these, you need a Bible to guide you throughout the pathways of life. I trust that you'll stay tuned as we endeavor to share with you some precious hymns and a message from the Word of God.
This is Evangelist Neil Dougal from Worcester, Massachusetts, presently conducting a gospel crusade at the Gospel Chapel, 1154 North George Street in York. Tonight at 7 p.m. will be our final meeting of this crusade. We'd like to give you a warm welcome to attend that service tonight. We shall read this afternoon from the book of Job, Chapter 11 and verse 13. If thou prepare thine heart and stretch out thine hands toward him, if iniquity be in thine hand, put it far away, and let not wickedness dwell in thy tabernacle. For then shalt thou lift up thy face without spot, yea, thou shalt be steadfast and shalt not fear. Because thou shalt forget thy misery, and remember it as waters that pass away. And thine age shall be clearer than the noonday. Thou shalt shine forth, thou shalt be as the morning. And thou shalt be secure, because there is hope. Yea, thou shalt dig about thee, and thou shalt take thy rest in safety. Also thou shalt lie down, and none shall make thee afraid. Yea, many will make suit unto thee. But the eyes of the wicked shall fail, and they shall not escape, and their hope shall be as the giving up of the goats. Shall we pray? Our Father, we seek thy face again this afternoon, and we thank thee for thy precious word. We rejoice that all scripture is God-breathed and is profitable. We pray, O Father, we shall receive from thee today thy approval and thy blessing as we handle thy precious word. We do pray for the salvation of precious souls, for the encouragement of those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and for his glory, we ask it in his precious name. Amen. I would like to examine with you today three things that are essential to salvation, and eight things that we can enjoy in salvation. Three things essential to salvation, and eight things that we can enjoy in salvation. Job tells us here that the first prerequisite toward God's salvation is that we prepare our heart. The Bible tells us that our hearts are deceitful above all things and is very, very sick. You and I today, friend, require radical heart surgery. I'm referring now to spiritual surgery. Our hearts must be prepared and changed by God before we can enjoy His salvation. It said concerning Jehoshaphat, a king in the Bible, that he prepared his heart to seek God. Some time ago, I was having a gospel crusade in the Bahamas. A young lad attended those meetings, and it was obvious that the Spirit of God was working in his heart. But ultimately, because of conviction, he had pains in his chest and in his arms, and he was a physical wreck. Finally, he decided to board a plane and to fly to Nassau to consult his doctor. The doctor examined this lad and discovered that his sickness was absolutely negative. He wasn't satisfied with the prognosis of his doctor. He boarded a plane and flew across to Miami to consult a specialist. The same result, negative. His problem was he was under the conviction of the Spirit of God and was going to the wrong doctor. He ought to have been going to the great physician who is our Lord Jesus Christ. He returned to this small island of Spanish Wells and he consulted upon his bended knees the great physician, our Savior. And immediately he put his trust in Christ. His heart was changed, and his pains immediately left him. It's inevitable that we consult the right surgeon regarding our spiritual sickness. The heart is deceitful above all things and is very, very sick. But the Lord Jesus Christ today, friend, is standing outside your heart's door, and he's willing to produce the change. He said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and sup with him and he with me." This will bring about a change of heart, a change of attitude toward our Lord Jesus Christ. The first prerequisite toward salvation is the preparation of the heart. Secondly, Job says that in order to obtain God's salvation, we must stretch out our hands toward him. In verse 14 of chapter 11, "If iniquity be in thine hand, put it far away." It's possible for you and me to stretch forth our empty, helpless hands toward the outstretched, nail-pierced, powerful hands of Jesus Christ. Today he beckons you and I to come to him, and his arms are outstretched. This always was the posture adopted by Christ during his earthly ministry. He always seemed to be putting his outstretched hands to meet the hands of those who were in need. He did say, "Suffer little children to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of God." He is always seeking those who seek him. So it's necessary for us to stretch out our hands to meet his nail-pierced hands. Did he not say in John chapter 10, "I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Friend, this is the second prerequisite towards God's salvation and eternal life, to stretch out our hands to meet the nail-pierced hands of Jesus Christ. Now the third prerequisite is that iniquity must be put away. The first, we must prepare our hearts. The second, we must stretch out our hands to meet him. Thirdly, iniquity must be put away. The Lord God says, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will abundantly pardon." It's necessary for you and I to confess our sins and avail ourselves of the cleansing of the precious blood of Jesus Christ, who died upon Calvary, that you and I might receive everlasting life. Now, iniquity can be put away, but you and I have not the ability to put that iniquity away ourselves. The Bible says no man can redeem his brother or give to God a ransom for him. The redemption of the soul is costly and must abide forever. But there is one avenue of cleansing, and that is by coming to God, and he can cleanse us from our iniquity. Three things essential to salvation. Now Job, this old patriarch, he enumerates for us eight things that we can enjoy in salvation. The first thing that we can enjoy is that we can lift up our face without spot. Verse 15 of chapter 11, the section under discussion. Friend, today, in spite of the darkness of our hearts and our unclean condition, it is possible that we can lift up our face without spot to God, confident and clean. The psalmist says in Psalm 103 that God has the ability, as far as the east is from the west, so far can he remove our transgressions from him. In other words, he can put our sins out of sight. And again, Micah in his little prophecy, he says God can take our sins and put them in the depths of the ocean. But best of all, in the letter to the Hebrews, the writer says, God speaks again, thy sins and thy iniquities will I remember no more. God has the ability not only to put our sins out of reach and our sins behind him completely, out of his memory, but God says today, come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they can become as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they can become as wool. You can lift up your face, confident and clean, through the forgiveness of a holy God. He has the ability to take away our every sin. Again, God says, thy sins and thy iniquities will I remember no more. Out of reach, out of sight, and out of memory. The second thing that you can enjoy today, in a very difficult day, is to be steadfast. Again, we consult this section of God's Word. Verse 15, yea, thou shalt be steadfast. In a fleeting, transient day, in a day of unreality, there is something that is steadfast. And that is the foundation upon which the Christian can build. Our Lord Jesus Christ has laid the foundation. He himself is the bedrock. We read in God's word that Noah, he built a ship. That Moses, he built the tabernacle. Solomon, he built his temple. But the Lord Jesus Christ said, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. But he mentioned specifically in that discussion with one of his disciples that the foundation was a rock. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He was referring to himself. He is the rock of ages, and if you and I build upon this rock, we shall stand the judgment that is coming upon this ungodly sea. There are those today who are building, but they are building on sinking sand. But those who build upon Christ, he takes them from the miry clay, and he sets their feet upon a rock, and he establishes their going. Friend, this is the only thing that is really secure in this world today. Building upon Christ, the rock of ages. One day, the great Michael Faraday, who was an outstanding scientist, as you know, but he was also a man of God. And when Faraday was dying, a few of his scientific friends gathered round his bedside. And of course, the scientific minds, they began to probe Faraday, and they said to him, "Faraday, what are your speculations now?" He said, "Speculations none, but certainties yes. I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." The great scientist was building upon Jesus Christ, the solid rock. So again, I repeat, in a transient, fleeting day, you can build for eternity upon a solid foundation, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The third thing that we can enjoy in salvation is that we can forget our misery, that is to say, the misery of our past history. Verse 16, Job says, "Because thou shalt forget thy misery." In the newfound joy, in the new experience of having sins forgiven, God gives us the capacity to forget our miserable past. And if you and I are honest with ourselves and honest with God, there is nothing in our past in which we can boast. The Apostle Paul gladly renounced his former conduct. There were many things of which he was ashamed. He could no doubt recall how he compelled certain of Christ's followers to blaspheme the name of Christ. He could recall having banished certain of them into strange cities, breaking up families. There were many things in his past life that he was glad to forget. And so he could say to the Philippian believers, "One thing I do, forgetting the former things which are behind." He was glad to lay these things behind and forget them. But there was an objective ahead, and this gave him encouragement. "One thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind." He gladly renounced the things of the past. And he could say, "What things were gained to me, those I count but loss, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but refuse." Again, let me quote in your hearing the words of the psalmist in the 32nd Psalm. He said, "Blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered, and to whom the Lord will not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile." Friend, your sinful, miserable life, miserable past, can be completely eradicated through the finished work of Christ. This we can enjoy in salvation. Now, the fourth thing that you can enjoy today is that you can shine forth. Verse 17, "Thou shalt shine forth." In other words, illumined, having been cleansed, you can be a guiding light to others who are in distress, who are in need. There are folks today around us who are in deep distress. They require guidance. They require direction. And if you come to Christ, enjoy his salvation, then you can have the capacity to help others find the Lord Jesus Christ. You can be a luminary in your specific sphere. This is what Christ said to those who believed in him. "Let your light so shine before men that men may behold your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." In World War II, I had a very close friend in the British Navy. He was an outstanding Christian. He was a petty officer called Bill Eastman. And this young lad was so like the Lord Jesus Christ in his conduct, in his mannerisms, in his helping others, that they ultimately called him Jesus. He was so like Christ, he was allowing his light to shine for his master. And it is a great joy for us who know Christ to shine as lights in our various locations and in our various spheres. "Thou shalt shine." We trust today that you will become a real luminary in a dark world. Christ himself is a great luminary. He says, I am the light of the world. And that's the reason why he came, to give light to those that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and guide our feet into the way of peace. Now, as we receive Christ, have our sins forgiven, and enjoy his salvation, we can be a bright light, we can shine for him, you in your small corner, and I in mine. The Lord Jesus refers to his people as individual stars. Every star shall differ from another star in glory. The Lord help us who are Christians to shine in this difficult day. Thou shalt shine. Now, friend, today, not only can we lift up our face without spot, confident and clean, and be steadfast, standing on a solid rock, forget our past history, the misery of it, and shine for God. But he says, the fifth thing that we can enjoy is that there is security and hope. The world today is looking for something. Ingersoll, the great agnostic, said, is there beyond the silent night an endless day? Is death a door to light? We cannot say. The tongueless secret locked in fate, we cannot know. We hope and wait. But this man was looking in the wrong direction. God's word says, man's days are swifter than the weaver's shuttle and are spent without hope. There is absolutely no hope in this godless world except Jesus Christ. He is the only hope for this world that is fast ripening for judgment. And those who receive Christ, they have a hope in their hearts. Why, says the Bible, it's possible to look for that blessed hope, which is the return of Jesus Christ, God's Son. Looking for that blessed hope and the appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It's called a steadfast hope as well as a blessed hope. It is called a purifying hope. So, friend, today I can recommend the Savior to you and his salvation, and you can have a hope beyond this dismal horizon that surrounds you and me today. There is hope, and we point him to you now, Jesus Christ, God's beloved Son. Now, the sixth thing that we can enjoy in salvation is that we can rest in safety. There is great turmoil in this world today. Men's hearts are failing them for fear. The governments of the nations are trembling. They just don't know where to go or what to consult to help in the various governmental dilemmas that are found in every nation in the universe. But thank God, there is the possibility of rest. We can have rest today in Christ. We can have rest for eternity. He says to you, troubled soul, today, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, and ye shall find rest for your soul. It's possible today to enjoy rest, peace, and tranquility. And if you enjoy his rest now, you can be assured that you will have his rest in heaven for all eternity. The poet says, O think, to step ashore and know it's heaven, to clasp a hand and know it's God's hand, to feel invigorated and know it immortality. O think, the storm and tempest pass, to wait and find the glory. Those of us who believe in Christ, who have come under the shed blood of his finished work, there remaineth yet a rest for the people of God throughout a long eternity. Thou shalt rest in safety. And the psalmist, he could enjoy the anticipation of this moment. That famous psalm, the 23rd psalm, and there we read, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Friend, what about you? The seventh thing that we can enjoy is that none shall make us afraid. Verse 19 of the section of God's Word, none shall make thee afraid. This was the experience of the man called Paul. As he wrote to the Christians in Rome, in the 8th chapter of his epistle, where he mentions that all things are controlled, all things are conferred, and all things are conquered. He says that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor any other creature shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Neither men nor demons shall ever make us afraid or snatch away God's salvation from us. I give unto my sheep, he says, eternal life, and they shall never perish. So in a day when the occult is on the increase, and astrology and demonology, when the darkness is intensifying, and Satan is rampant and his cohorts, the people of God stand firm, having this assurance that nothing shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. The eighth thing that we can enjoy in God's salvation is that there will be those who will entreat thy faith. If you consult the margin of your Bibles in chapter 11, our section, verse 19, it says that many shall entreat thy face. Being cleansed and brightened through the redemptive work of Christ, others will be attracted to him because of this. This was the experience of a group of people as they listened to a description of Christ in the Song of Solomon. After the description concluded with her running out of superlatives, this lady said of Christ, he is altogether lovely. And the sequence was, there were those around who said, whither is thy beloved gone, that we may seek him with thee? It's possible for you to become a child of God and others be influenced by your conduct as it is changed through his work. Now finally, friends, three things we have discussed essential to salvation, eight things that we can enjoy in salvation. But there is a sequel. In verse 20 of this chapter, if you reject God's salvation, you will pay a price. God is offering this today as a gift. But, says verse 20, but the eyes of the wicked shall fail, and they shall not escape, and their hope shall be as the giving up of the ghost. Reject salvation, and your portion will be delusion, despair, and destruction for all eternity in a place called hell. So turn to Christ, confess your sins, and enjoy his salvation for his name's sake, shall we pray. Father, we thank thee for thy salvation. Visit this country and the towns in this locality with thy salvation, and may many turn to Christ now and seek his blessing before it be too late. We ask it in his precious name. Amen.
Will you permit him today to be your Savior?
and to fill your life with joy, peace, and contentment. If we can be of additional spiritual help to you, please write to us. Message for the Hour, care of Blaine Van Oy, RD1, Windsor, Pennsylvania.
This is WGCB and WGCB FM broadcasting from Red Line, Pennsylvania.
Jesus said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." In obedience to this divine command, we now present Sermon and Song with Dr. J. Bennett Collins.
Thank you, Dave. It's a joy to have the privilege to come to you again with a glorious message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Before we continue any further in the program today, let me mention that I'm holding evangelistic meetings beginning today at the Conowago Community Chapel in Manchester, Pennsylvania. Reverend David Keener is the pastor. It's located on the Manchester York Haven Road. We would encourage you to pray for these meetings and come if you possibly can.
Wonderful is Jesus, our matchless King. Wonderful the praise which to Him we bring. Wonderful the friend unto whom we cling on our way to glory land.
Thank you.
Today, I'm offering information packet number 2. Information packet number 2. It contains 3 pieces of literature. A critique of the Living Bible, that's a 95-page book on the Living Bible. A critique of Good News for Modern Man, and also a pamphlet entitled Which Translation. This packet of 3 booklets can be yours for the asking when you write to Sermon and Song, Post Office Box 5400, Greenville, South Carolina, and the zip code is 29606.
Will your anchor hold in the storms of life? When the clouds unfold their wings of strife, when the strong tides lift and the cables strain, will your anchor drift or firm remain? We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Pass into the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. It is safely moored, will the storm withstand. For it is well secured by the Savior's hand. Though the tempest rage and the wild winds blow, not an angry wave shall our bark overflow. I have an anchor that keeps my soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Pass into the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in my Savior's love.
I would like for you to open your Bibles today, please, to the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 19, and verses 45 through verse 48. Luke, chapter 19, verse 45. And when he went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold in it, and them that bought, saying unto them, It is written, My house is the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And he taught daily in the temple, but the chief priests and the scribes and the chief of the people sought to destroy him and could not find what they might do for all.
Baptism by Frank MacDonald of London. It is undoubtedly right to regard baptism, that is, water baptism, as one of the commands of the Lord. It was included in the Great Commission given to the disciples just before the ascension, as we read in Matthew 28:18-19. In the house of Cornelius, Peter said, Can any man forbid water, that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? Then we read, And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord, that is, by the authority of the Lord. Acts 10:47-48. Baptism is a command of the Lord through his apostles, which requires only early obedience from the child of God. John 14:15. There are one or two obvious things that may be noticed. Baptism presupposes conversion. It is not a substitute for conversion, nor is it conversion itself. There is no saving virtue whatsoever in the act of baptism. It follows conversion and is for believers only. Baptism reveals conviction. It is a step that should be taken as the result of an inner conviction of the heart as to its necessity and meaning. It should not be because others say that I should be baptized, but because it is the command of the Lord for me. Baptism involves confession. The act of being baptized is a public confession that we are done with the old world, rather done with the world, and have taken sides with Jesus Christ. It does not make Christians, but it marks them as belonging to Him. Baptism demands continuance. It places us under obligation to Christ. We are to live fully surrendered to His control. The act of baptism does not require to be repeated, but living the baptized life continues during our whole Christian lives. To understand this more fully, we might consider the place it occupies in Scripture, its practice by the early church, its purpose in the Christian life, and the precepts which are linked with it related to Christian living. The place of baptism in the Scriptures. Different kinds are spoken of. There was the baptism unto Moses in the Red Sea. That's 1 Corinthians 10 from 1 and 2. This was unto a new leadership. There is the baptism of John. John seems to have had a special commission to baptize. He says, "He that sent me to baptize," John 1 and 33. His was a baptism unto repentance, and required the confession of sins on the part of those baptized. Then there is the baptism of the Lord Jesus. While he was baptized of John, it was not unto repentance, because he had no sins to confess. When John objected, he said, "Thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness." By means of baptism, he identified himself with those he came to save. There is the baptism of the cross. His death is compared to a baptism. Luke 12 and 50. This baptism meant sorrow and suffering, but it was to result in salvation. There is the baptism in the Spirit. This gave birth to the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12, 13. There is the baptism of judgment, Matthew 3, 11 and 12. This is future, when he shall burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. There is the baptism of believers, with which we are now concerned. It was initiated by the Lord after his resurrection and before his ascension. The practice of baptism by the early church. The opportunity soon came for the disciples to put into practice the common commands of the Lord. We see the baptism of the Jews in Acts 2 and 40, the Samaritans, Acts 8 and 12, the Ethiopian in Acts 8 and 38, Saul of Tarsus, 9, 17 and 18, Cornelius and those who were with him, 10, 47 and 48, the Corinthians, 18 and 8. These and other instances indicate the importance with which baptism occupies in the practice of the early Christians. From a consideration of these passages, two matters of great importance emerges. Firstly, Christian baptism is for believers, not for babies. The doctrine of infant baptism and its related era, baptismal regeneration, are completely without support from the Scriptures. There are no instances in the Word of God of babies being baptized, and there is no warrant whatsoever for the statement that by baptism a child is made a member of Christ and an inheritor of the kingdom of heaven. Those who practice and propagate these eras carry a solemn responsibility. Secondly, Christian baptism involves immersion and not sprinkling. Not a single scripture can be produced in support of sprinkling. When the Lord Jesus was baptized, we read, "And straightway coming up out of the water, Mark 1 and 10. Philip and the eunuch went down both into the water, Acts 8 and 38. Baptism, as we shall see, is a figure of burial and loses its significance unless a person being baptized is fully immersed. Sprinkling a few grains of earth on a coffin is not burial. No more is sprinkling a few drops of water baptism. The word baptize is found over 80 times in the New Testament and means to dip or to immerse. To try to make the word mean to pour only leads to confusion, because pouring refers to the water while immersing refers to the person who goes down into the water. The purpose of baptism in this Christian life. Granted, then, that baptism is obedience in love to the Lord's command, that it is for Christians only, and that its correct mode is by immersion, what is its purpose in Christian experience, and what is it intended to signify? Romans 6 states plainly that baptism is linked with the three great facts of the gospel: the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord, 1 Corinthians 5, or rather 15, 3, and 4. The believer has died with Christ. Our old man is crucified with him, verse 6. If we be dead with Christ, verse 8, baptism is the outward expression of that which in the sight of God is an actual fact. It is an indication of what must become true experimentally in our lives. We are baptized into his death, verse 3. The believer is buried with Christ. Burial must always follow death. That which has died must be put out of sight, verse 4. The old man, which has been crucified with Christ, has disappeared forever from the sight of God, and baptism is an acknowledgment of this fact. Death and burial are the necessary prelude to resurrection. So we read that, like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, verse 4 and 5. The purpose of baptism may be summarized as an acknowledgment that we are done with sin and unrighteousness as ruling factors in our lives. It is an action involving public association with Christ in his rejection and an attitude which refuses to recognize the existence of the old man and seeks to live only for the glory of God. Precepts linked with baptism. The act of baptism places the believer under the obligation to live the baptized life. We are to walk in newness of life, Romans 6 and 4. If we walk in newness of life, we shall gradually become like Christ. We have died with Christ, that henceforth we should not serve sin, verse 6. Sin is not to have dominion over us, verse 14. We are to refuse it to reign in our mortal bodies, verse 12. This does not mean that we cannot sin, but that we may not sin. We are to yield ourselves unto God, verse 13. This is a moment-by-moment surrender of our lives to him. The attitude of continual yielding is the secret which will enable us to live baptized lives. It will express itself in abiding sanctification, number one. Number two, abounding service. Servants of God, verse 22, and of righteousness, verse 18. And three, absolute submission. The words of the Lord Jesus in the garden will become the rule of our lives. Not my will, but thine be done. Acceptance of and delight in the will of God will be our chief concern. An editorial on Council Magazine by Robert McClurkin. In the beginning of the fourth year of Council Magazine, we are deeply grateful to God for leading us into this ministry. We have received a great many letters of appreciation for its ministry from many countries, and for this we sincerely thank all who have written. While not claiming infallibility, we do rejoice that a consistent ministry has been given that is true to the fundamentals of the faith. We have contended for the inspiration of the Scriptures, the doctrine of God, that three distinct personalities subsist in the essence of deity. The Father emphasizing the essence of the divine nature. The eternal Son emphasizing the manifestation of that nature. And the divine Spirit emphasizing the operations of that nature. We believe in the perfect humanity, essential deity, glorious work and worth of our Lord Jesus Christ. We insist upon the utter ruin of man by the fall, the necessity and sufficiency of the atoning death of Christ, the present possession of eternal life by the believer, as well as the oneness of the body of Christ and the priesthood of all believers. We stand for the immersion of believers as the Christian baptism taught in the New Testament, the weekly breaking of bread as the priority of all Christian gatherings, separation from the world and its associations, gathering together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ alone, apart from sectarian titles and clerical assumptions, and the personal and premillennial coming of our Lord. On these and similar truths, we pledge ourselves and dedicate our time and talents to give a clear and simple testimony to the things most surely believed amongst us. Moreover, we shall not hesitate to expose the creeping apostasy that has appeared in certain circles that once practiced New Testament church principles, the inroads of cheap and gaudy methods adopted in the Lord's work. Believing, as we do, that spiritual things are to be communicated by spiritual means, as we read 1 Corinthians 2:13, JND translation, we shall resist any downgrading of our beloved Bible, the authorized version, and the substituting of modern paraphrased versions that mix the thoughts of God with the notions of men. The product of men who deny the faith of God's elect. Every Bible student is well aware of the few defects in the King James Version, but no version has combined dignity, reverence, and reliability as does our beloved Bible, and no version has been able to bring out the music and meaning of the original tongues, as did the men of the 16th century. We do not seek to please a certain class of readers, nor do we cater to any party. Our motto is, all the Word of God for all the people of God. We believe in the organic unity of the body of Christ, for which our Lord prayed in John 17, and seek the spiritual welfare of all the saints. However, the outward manifestation of this unity, we believe, is not in any kind of amalgamations of the demonstrations of men. It is found in the local assembly where the Spirit of God is acknowledged as the divine president of the gathering, where there is divine liberty for the priesthood of all believers and the exercise of God-appointed gift, and where the Word of God alone is the supreme authority in all the devotions of the saints. We are glad to say that the Lord has graciously supplied every need, even to the adding of new equipment to our workshop. A financial report will be gladly sent to any interested reader by our secretary. To all our readers, we wish you a happy and prosperous new year, if the Lord be not come. For this year, we would remind you that we serve our God, who fainteth not, Isaiah 40:28, who faileth not, Zephaniah 3:5, who changeth not, Malachi 3:6. O glorious head of all thine own, thy thoughts alone are our control. As members of thy body here, we own thee, Lord, of every sphere. Our head, all glorious sights in heaven, Rather, our head, all glorious, sits in heaven, to whom our God all power is given, to guide, control, and teach his own, until he takes us safely home. By Robert McClurkin.
That's all he said. He said he'd have the rest. So I find his bicycle in her. He wants his stuff for Sunday morning or Sunday for the kids to see. And
it sounds like he's ready to go then. Okay. Well, that answers the question. As far as I was concerned, I think we certainly got to help his brother as much as we possibly can. Not getting his way, but whatever he would need, you know, we try to help him out, all the kids or whatever is going to be done.
It really turned out up in the Southern Farms. I was at the Flores meetings, and I stopped in, and there wasn't anybody. I was just there when he was up in the place of Southern.
He's a speaker,
we're having him speak after dinner.
Did I tell him about Robert? He's always good ready to go.
But somebody's got to eat the same and speak too.
Yeah, he's ready.
He's ready. Well, under new business, I thought I'd bring it up. Bruce hasn't mentioned it. In order to fill you in, in the will of the Lord, the young people are having their meeting this coming Saturday evening here at 7:30, and it's a film that we're having. What's it called?
Like a Mighty Army.
Like a Mighty Army. It's a film of an actual meeting someplace. It's an evangelistic meeting, how they go out.
The easiest way to put it, George, is just to show what can happen when people are really honestly and truly turned on to Jesus Christ. To show just what can happen.
This coming Saturday.
Yeah. 7:30. Now, along with that, we're going to have this young Scottish fellow, Harrisburg, and his wife, Jim Robinson, who will be down. And Sylvia will play the piano. And hopefully his brother-in-law Ken will be down to sing and keep his testimony. But if not, we'll have Jody and Jim Crawford to sing for
him. They're coming up.
But if they're coming up, I would make room for them anyway.
Well, most definitely, yes. Yeah.
Oh, yes. You've talked.
We were here Sunday night, last Sunday. Jim Crawford played the piano, and I think he did a beautiful job. I know he can play the accordion and the piano. I understand he plays the trumpet and the organ. Four instruments. So there's a lot of talent there that we can utilize.
Okay, well, we have
one thing on that. I feel we're spending $29. And the paper trying to get the radio. If we can't get somebody in here, you know, someone seems to me Saturday evening, a lot of Christians, if it was mentioned, the church is going to be trying to make
it in the paper.
Yeah, in the paper, and all be on the radio now or something.
Yes. Friday. It is
Saturday.
You'd have to have been a day or so before.
Yeah. Should have been
now.
Yeah.
I think the radio announcement would be about the quickest way now.
Yeah, you could get it.
Over the Lancaster station. If you can give me a little dope, I can get to. What's the day of Wednesday?
The date we have time 7:30.
We get it in the paper. We get it in Saturday night's paper. A lot of people
You mean Friday night, don't you?
Saturday morning.
Well, I'll take care of the Lancaster station and get the announcement on that.
Where's the Lancaster station?
WDAC is I don't think there are many stations that are Christian listening to WGCB anymore. Not too many.
Which one is taking that?
DAC, WDAC.
It's an FM station only. It's on 24 hours a day.
WDAC?
Yes.
What
channel?
94
something.
Red Line.
I don't either unless I know who's on. I don't listen to Red Line Station unless I know who's on. It's gotten too... it isn't fit to listen to.
I got charged up my brother Carl McIntyre the other day because he went through Red Light.
7:30 in the morning.
Boy, he's on you something to start a day off with.
Well, but if they have those... that holiness group.
So I'm listening to Green once in a while. I thought we kind of discussed this gift thing when we were here.
I thought so too.
I thought we were going to do it.
What gift thing
For the Robbie's meetings.
Bibles and something like that, yes, but to go into other things, I'm not too sure about that, really.
But since everything is planned out,
yeah, it's planned.
See what happens this time.
You took a bicycle off in front of a bunch of kids, and you're going to get them in here.
Brother Bruce, in all fairness and honesty, that looks good.
That looks good,
but it's taken so often away the power of the Holy Spirit to work in our meeting, and these things will cripple more than ever.
Right. Now, I'm not saying it's right, Brother Mark, but I know this church that will draw kids in.
I'm like Ben. I think since it's arranged, Bibles and good Christian literature and candies and stuff like that, yes, but when you get into
it. You know, I wouldn't see much difference in candies without.
Well, if you had Bob Clark here, if you could say a memory verse, you'd get a candy bar. Bang, just like that, flopped in your hand. If you can't say it, you wouldn't get one. I mean, this is how he uses it.
This is more of a reward to bring them in. I really must not be here. I don't mind it.
I know, I don't recall the discussion.
Do you?
I don't recall any
discussion. He asked me what I thought, and I didn't see nothing wrong with it.
This sounds like another discussion that would take place sometime ago.
business meeting.
It was brought up.
Discussed right here. What was the outcome of it? Let's hear it.
Well, Noah, I didn't know the details of it myself, really.
I'll tell you, I think I have it along with the other tape. I'll check. I didn't destroy my other tape, Jim. I know there was a discussion. I knew at the time I expressed my dissatisfaction about the thing, too. I just felt
it. Let me say this. Real clean living before the Lord and prayer and the studying of the Word, you can't beat it. Things to the head.
There's this too, Mark, with it. I agree with you. You can't beat it. And I agree with you and Pat on offering prizes and things of this nature. But you're dealing with a bunch of kids who have not done this at all. As far as they're concerned, they hear the word religion fine. To them, it's nothing but a bunch of foolishness. And Jesus Christ, the name Jesus Christ, is nothing but a swear word.
It's
true in a lot of cases.
And you give some kind of incentive. Put it up there where these kids can see it. True, that's going to be in the back of their minds. But along with it is going to be, it all works at this point. You get a certain number of points for bringing a friend. You get a certain number of points for bringing your mother and daddy. Certain number of points for bringing a sister or brother or something. The person who gets the most points gets the bicycle, so on down the line for the lesser prizes. Now this is true, it's in the back of their minds. Because you get these people in. And you kind of want them to work. And Robbie doesn't hold back on the stops when he preaches.
No, he preaches the word.
Oh, he really does.
Well, as far as bringing him in, John, there's no two ways about it. Works.
It works.
No, I can.
If you want the kid, it works. But you better be there to help him get him in, that's all. I know for a fact down there, these kids were in the corner, and everybody was bringing all they could bring, and he was right for fair the whole beginning of the meeting. Everybody brought something.
An earnest approach.
That bring him.
Boy, if you'd had much more time, you'd soon have a place.
I run half the night and I must to get him home.
A good
I
point.
Like the way he has the children. Really. He had the keys, you know, and this and the trunk. And they have it under first. They didn't get no one word missed. They didn't get nothing. And he could handle it.
Well, let's see. Well, it's already gone. Let's see how it
works out.
Let's see what happens.
Yeah.
And I think we should trust the Lord's guidance on this part. And this may just be an idea that, you know, the Lord has given her a lot of work so much. Or it may just be the Lord's way of showing us.
You've got to have some attraction. That's I don't disagree on that.
There was one other thing. That we should discuss ourselves, and I'm sure with a certain later date. There are additions the Lord's adding to the families. To make a long story short, last Lord's Day, it was brought to my attention that there are some children that are getting older now. They should go into the next class in my age group. But the class now I had particularly in mind. Babies and so forth. The room over here for a mother to bring a baby down here. We don't have a crib for the baby, and we wouldn't have a place for it there. To make a long story short, we have to have cribs or something for the ladies and a place for these children. And I looked at the room tonight and thought to myself, really, that room is too small to do anything with that they have there now to put something. The only other room that I wouldn't think would be drafty or would be suitable for it is the room that Judy was using for her children. And then, the only thing I would know to do would be to take the one room that we have back there. It's just vile and dirty and not fixed up. I think we've got to take time. Now, my daughter and some other young people
didn't purchase it.
At the same time,
I'm
sure. You don't mind if your rakes
would go in there? Oh, no. That's been a long time ago.
Oh, and now this is...
Yeah, it has nothing to do with it.
That's your mic. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, record anything you want to say.
Well, how was your trip up tonight, Ben? What was the weather like? Were the reds slippy?
We come up this afternoon when it's nice.
Okay,
and found no one at home at the Grammy Wild home.
You've said it all. I'll just say amen to it all.
Amen to the speech.
Okay, we'll see what if we got anything.
Beforehand, my brother and me said we were going to have our lunch should be done, and then we can not be to himself, but this could be included in this.
Well, you know what I've been thinking?
That's all there is to
it. You need two to record.
Same as the little one that way.
Mm-hmm.
You need two to record just the one to play.
Give us a verse, Jimmy. See here, when I talk, it's going on the tape.
That's what I mean.
That's your automatic. The little one had the same thing, but there was no gauge on it.
Mm-hmm. Well, Ben, if that isn't working, watch when I raise my voice. Louder.
Oh.
Softer. Louder. Softer. See?
See how it flies all the way? But it's automatic. Although it goes clear over in the red, it doesn't harm a thing. It won't give you any static.
It's,
now,
it's
the unit that you have to, there's a lot of units you have to adjust that it has to stay within, you know, if it goes over in the red, you get static. But this is automatic. Even if it goes
just
over in the red.
Uh-huh. In other words, what that's doing, when you play it back, you aren't going to have a loud shriek and a small one like I did it there. That's keeping it right, all even.
Yeah. You get to raise and lower your voice, but it doesn't
give it an extreme.
What it doesn't do, if you have one, you gotta adjust. Why, if you don't have it adjust properly, why then when it comes out, when you play it, it's a lot of static and you can't make it out because you got too much volume. Where this is automatic.
Well, now, like when you're playing, Ben, since you can't shut this off here, does it make any difference then?
You can. I don't think it works, dear. I tried it. Yeah,
but what
switch it off.
That morning,
I don't know why.
What makes you think it didn't work? You just didn't notice it because it
not. Where I checked it out, it was kind of dark. I didn't have much light.
I was going to say, does that affect? That don't register on your tape anyway.
It just makes
that
switch sound.
Well, yeah,
but what I mean
we'll
is, if you
turn this
haven't
off,
turned that off, if you haven't turned that off, this isn't going to be playing on your tape then. Here, I mean, playing here, just because this is not going to affect your tape in any way.
I was switching it up and on,
and
on, up and on. And we'll see how it comes out.
Well, yeah, I think it's a good thing. I think, too, we should announce that we have a PA system occasionally. A lot of the sisters know that they have problems with their children. Need to use them, they
should
down it and sit in there and turn them up. That should be the one of the system one in the nursery.
Mm-hmm. That should
but
be
as it stands there now,
yeah.
All you've got is a straight back chair.
And we turn it on.
Well,
it's
true.
Speed.
And you try and rock the child asleep on a straight back chair. It doesn't cut the mustard.
Yeah. It's no good Saturday morning.
I hate to put it in there, but what doesn't work?
Well, I'll tell you, this is good for the sister team. We have the hometown of the media there.
We ought to make it known what they need.
Yeah, we don't have to have, as far as I'm concerned, I don't think we should go and buy new stuff. I mean, go to the second-hand furniture.
Well,
we have it just as good. And
well,
there may be painted
out there.
Right.
We're not
having
out there.
We have to have new stuff.
But maybe people want to clean out their attic and have some of this stuff.
Right.
We gave everything away. Our stuff was almost spotless.
We gave ours away.
We brought in Chrome and Play the high chair that's out here. Gets us here yet. And high chair, I don't think we had left. But everything else we gave away.
I got a plate,
and I think it needs a little repair.
Well, I'll put it back together again. Bring it in.
Painted up.
Well, you can buy this stuff very reasonable now. It stormed down here. When we went over on Philadelphia. You can buy it or anything in there.
Is that where they moved?
Where the chicken house used to be.
That's where
the bring those into.
Well, anyway, I just threw it out for a suggestion. You know, it was mentioned to me.
I think we ought to take some action on this.
Decide,
we all know it's needed.
And let the young people, let somebody oversee them, decide what you want done, what colors you want, and oversee them. Let them push the brush.
Well, what would we want in order to put a kitchen in there? What do you rather have in mind?
Well, we have a sink here. Is it any good?
Yes, the sink's in beautiful shape. Nothing wrong with it. All I have to do is take it out of there and put a framer in. Right. The only thing that you would need, of course, this women would decide, but you would need possibly cabinets, you know, up over top of it and then in underneath. Because the way it's built in there, I don't think that thing can be moved. That is the underneath part that it's setting on. Mm-hmm. But the sink itself, the fixtures and all that are all good and solid, perfectly new.
It wouldn't be the logical place for it anyway.
Big part of
where it is. Where it is
now.
Yeah.
No, you wouldn't want to.
You want to put it back in that room again, back there. But this ought to be given some real thought fast if we're considering running that pipe in and getting a jackhammer to discuss it with a plumber and do it.
Because you have to go right away into the soil pipe, or can you run another pipe?
Can you do that for that
one? Because I have one. Sure, I have in my.
You can touch our well. I don't believe so.
We can do that. But
see, one thing we're running into, we have an air conditioner without a water tank on it. It's illegal to use.
I don't know that either.
I just found it out.
What's
Charles
this?
Lee.
What's this to me?
We're illegal with our air conditioner in here.
What?
With the type that uses water and runs into a drain. So this type of unit you're supposed to have a tank for.
It's what they call a cooling tower. You use the water over and over again.
Yeah, see, when he knew where there was a tank, he told us he could put it in for around $125.
I don't recall, sir. It
wasn't a big price. And then he said that asked me if I knew that we were illegal the way it is.
I forgot to fix the sink and tear that up, but we ought to check with somebody and get it put in there right so we have a drain in case it should flood or we want it to rock.
How about your contractor again? He does a lot of that. Couldn't he advise you on what to do?
Well,
what
we had his plumber do this work so we could go directly to him. That was Heisler.
If we don't go to the drain, we had our shaking stuff hooked up using buckets under it. For the time being, and a stove, at least we have some heat and this kind of thing.
He filled up our baptismal tank after the inspection of the
rest. That's right. Yeah.
And of course, what we did was drain it into the old septic tank, which wasn't what we should have done in the first place.
No. You think they'll make us run a soil pipe all the way back?
I think so.
I'm afraid to.
That'd be the farther away from Jackson around here.
No, about halfway. The fire is. That's the last underground drain. And they were talking when we were not working here under repairs that this is where they would have to come.
Is that it? Will go into the sewer there?
Yeah. Well, from there it comes up to the sewer up front, yes. The plumber checked it.
Where would we get to hook in?
You know where the dehumidifier here is on the floor? That's the last drain, so you'd have to run from there back to
the
I thought it had to come.
No, it's not too difficult. That's why I think we should ask the plumber for his opinion. The man's been here, and I'm sure he treats right. Tell him if we don't want to do it, we can't afford it, we can, get along. Some other way, but I figure if we're going to do any ripping around, we got to get it done. Break up that cement.
Talking about kitchen cabinets and so on, a lot of these, Harry's Kitchen and places, they have these displays in their place of business for maybe a year, and a half, and those can be bought. Very, very reasonable.
Bob Harris.
Huh?
Bob Harris down your way? Could be boy. That's the guy you told me about?
Well, I mean, a lot of them.
You get very reasonable.
Yeah. Well, I told a friend of mine that does the electrical work for Bob Harris to keep his eye open in case he rip anything out. But he said, just put it in his truck and bring it over, and then I decide he's one or not.
I mentioned that in one of the kitchen places.
They make pretty good material. Sears Roebuck, a lot of times they'll have unmatched specials or something like that, and they sell on a deal.
Yeah, after they show it a year, and then they want to get rid of it cheap.
But you do have to have a drain back there, I think, if we're going to do it permanently.
All right, then, should we announce then and ask if there are any that has cribs or playpens or rocking chairs that would want to contribute? Then would we use Judy's room? What do you think?
Well, I don't know. I mean,
that's the other one. It's too small. You couldn't use that cold.
And if we start to get furniture, then we're going to have to use
it. I would think that if you
temporarily
let them have that room, there's plenty of room in there then that they could, expand and have it. And let those little children come in this room, and I'll think the children are in here because they're getting old enough, they can tolerate it. Put them back in that room.
What about this little room here? We need to use that for your kids. Their children are about in school age.
What has happened to the Fizzle family? It's the grandmother's.
It's been coming for quite a while.
The boy hasn't been coming there for a while. His grandmother and the boy.
The parents don't encourage the children. You can't expect much more. I'm afraid that's what it is there. Got lead troubles, I think.
I know you're a busy man, but wonder if you could contact that contractor and get this thing started. We ought to know. We ought to have some help here.
If we're going to have a conference here in Easter,
we ought to have a stove.
The stove is in Easter and the refrigerator also.
I've got a handful of them. I'm going to get Paul down for a couple of days.
What's that, Jim?
And poor lumber and get my brother-in-law down for a few days. He can make the covers out of nothing. Covers?
Yeah, but he's working 5 and 6 days a week.
Made known, a lot of times people have nice gas stoves.
That's the kind of fellow that
you need. Usually you get pretty nice gas stoves.
This ought to be done before the painting. I know he's a good man, and I wonder whether we ought to turn that down.
But it didn't really write in point blank as Remedios. He says.
Oh, he didn't.
He has time left towards the end of October, and if we want to come, he could come. We don't.
When is Brother George Rainey here? November.
He'll be here November the
13th. Sunday to Friday.
That's Veterans Day week. The week before that, the 25th, the cruise is wide open. He'll give us the week. So,
Robbie, I'll tell you the truth, I'm for having him come myself.
Robbie, I'll be here the 18th.
I'd sooner hear him than any I ever heard.
Really a teacher.
He's a Bible teacher. What I was but thinking, though, we should notify all
always,
around about home.
I always thought it was easy to come to those
meetings
we had.
A week's meetings.
Would that be the 25th yes. through the 31st, huh?
I think we'd get a lot of people out of Harrisburg and other cities.
They know he's closer in. Hasn't he been in this area very much?
Just take even Gordon and...
Yeah, I mean here, but I mean, how wasn't he ever in Harrisburg?
No, Harrisburg never had. He goes to Reading for, I heard him at Reading last Conference. Year for New Year's Conference.
Thank we you. Have him Sunday to Sunday?
There might be an option. There might be other
would he be here from Sunday to Sunday?
How do you check with him? I imagine we could be arranged to just be
one Sunday.
Let's see, Robbie's coming the 17th through the
11th
through the 18th. Then we'd have a week off, and then would be that
25th. Following
Sunday. We have a week between there and Rainy.
We would have more
time. We have 2 weeks.
2 weeks between
Rainy. 2 weeks
to Rainy.
Only 1 week, that's right.
That's right.
Oh, praise the Lord, we have 1 week. That's enough.
I don't need more than 1 week. We're going to be meeting
now. You know,
we're
living in a day and age where we don't have time. There's no question about time. But you know, the Lord's going to be here.
Not big time.
And the Lord will provide as far as our funds are concerned. And it's a matter of whether we.
If he can be here one Lord's Day in through Friday night,
what's
there.
His name? Robert.
That's enough.
Really?
Just one Lord's Day.
Most of these men travel on Saturdays anyway.
Yeah.
Most of them.
Yeah.
Who's that?
If they're going somewhere else, they might not get to Sunday.
Coming for a day.
No.
The week.
What did you say about Lord's Day?
No, I say if he could be here then, another Lord's Day. If he ends nothing else scheduled.
Yeah, if he wants to go, but he'd rather like if they're going somewhere else to be there.
25th through the 30th, temporarily, huh? Friday.
Yeah.
I think I'll be able to attend better that than I will with Robbie. I'm going to have to miss a couple of
meetings. While we're discussing this, you mentioned the word Friday. When we have speakers like this come, do you think we have to hold a meeting here for him?
That's right. That's another thing, too. How do you feel about it?
I mean, let's be fair. It leaves a big hole.
That's true.
A lot of young people. If you have a man that's adaptable for young people where he could go into gyms, I mean,
while I'd like to hear him and all that sort of thing here, let's face it, if he's more useful at Jim's house.
How do you feel about that anyway, Jim?
Oh, I don't know. I'm just, we had come in a few times and then we had some problems with.
The thing is, your meetings are perpetual.
We used to have some kids in front. When there's a special meeting, you never came to our church.
Yeah, well.
That's because we were having a lot of that. We don't have too many of them here. So really, that's anathema right now.
It wouldn't be as serious as it was.
No, not as it was, because we had so many teenagers from other churches at that time.
Mm-hmm. It just goes to show you, though, most of those all went anyhow. It gives them something to holler about. In many cases.
Did you get a call about a Bible today?
Yeah. I'm reading tomorrow. What kind of Bible?
Have we hashed this out now pretty much? Are we going to have it through Friday or what?
Yes. Jim said it doesn't make any difference now. The others are going to close the problem.
Well, there's a couple of other things that we should take care of. We're in new business. I noticed we didn't do one thing last year. Last New Year's. What would be the consensus of opinion of the watch night service? Here at the chapel. Last thing from say 7:30.
Last time when I went to, I lost a lot of sleep.
Well, this is the what? This is the 31st of December, New Year's Eve.
I think we got behind this as the ideal for this reason. Not only this is for everybody, but we can have some, let the Spirit of God open for it. Not have anything planned more than your little refreshment, testimony, words, sing hymns, just the assembly. I gave one in. We'd all enter into a church. My way.
What about something like this? Here again, this is just being thrown out into our discussion. Have a game, get some, perhaps some special speaker, or as you say, work up maybe half a dozen people who give a testimony. And couple with that some of the young people who will sing. And maybe get a film in. And then, when it's all done, around midnight, have an hour where we just sit down and break bread. Have a break of bread. Have we done this? I've done this in other settings. In other words, it's been a program that's lasted over 7 hours. But the final thing to see out the old year is a real worship service.
But that comes Sunday morning.
No, this is a Thursday night. There's almost nothing saying that we have to have a great service on Sundays. It's
this is the first day of the week.
Well, this would be the first day of the new year.
I'm not too much for the coming together and break bread, but I'm for getting together and anything else.
Well, breaking your bread, you don't have to have the embers to be worshiping, that's for sure. I wouldn't feel it proper myself.
What do you think, Howard?
Well, it's like Jim says.
I would have to have a bread for worship.
Didn't
the New Testament when disciples, when they first started meeting, they had to break the bread, say, every day. And then they gradually
went
into
house to house. Yeah, they did.
If you want a good scripture on it, you get into Numbers. Is it the 26th chapter? It was upon the first day of the week, and it was a place where a testimony was established, and the disciples broke bread on there. Where's Dan?
It's the time.
We don't have any scripture in any other time. No, that would take, that would be going back to the old economy on the thing.
No, I think that the reason it was tongues ceased, and different things that the early church had.
Yeah.
Well, we find that they absolutely, without a question or a shadow of a doubt, every Lord's Day morning, the first day of the week, they came together to break bread. But they didn't do it, but they did it first every day, but that ceased. And I feel I would have no part of breaking bread any other time.
Yeah, I wouldn't even come to the meeting at all.
I hope it was like in the beginning, the church was so anxious for the Lord to return, they broke bread. And then gradually it got colder, maybe. And just like now, some people have a Lord's table twice a year.
In my own family, if we were snowed in on a Sunday, we broke bread in our own home.
We remembered the Lord's death, but we didn't use the emblems, because I feel that the emblems, if you read Willie Combs' book, you'll see the scripture that there's a place, time and a place, mm-hmm. and that's where the testimony is established.
And then, if you were doing meeting, this would be up to the individual families,
if you're going to have it, I'd sooner see something like a coffee break in between, or a slight snack, like a lot of food places have it. Yeah.
There's some assemblies that may do this.
Yeah, there is.
But they're really not too much more than congregational churches.
Come on, man, be careful.
That's right. That's what happened down here in Hanover, and that's just your problem.
Well, it's the easiest thing.
I've gone to assemblies that are a lot more fundamental than this one.
I used to sit amongst
I know that, but we can.
No, I didn't stay out very long, but I've gone.
Praise the Lord for that. But it's so easy. I used to sit with P.D. Loiza and English Fleming and Richard Hill and his older brother. And I used to think, man, they were as tight as screws. But I tell you, there's such a thing as letting down the bar easy, and it goes like a flood.
Amen.
And you have nothing. So you've got to be a little cautious about it. Amen.
Oh, the Spirit, the Word of God teaches
us. Yes. Mm-hmm. You can't, you say, well, this is all right. It's like, to me, like a movie star giving the testimony. Maybe it's perfectly all right and thorough and good and everything, but I just something about it, I can't see it. Now, I don't know.
I'll tell you, when it comes to you and say, we've got
what's your slogan, Howard? You don't know any Christian movie stars.
Well, they say they are, and
that's what he says.
So I'm not going to judge whether they are or not. It isn't my job.
Not for my place.
No.
They say they are.
Howard didn't say the word.
No, I didn't say the word.
He said he can't enjoy him, or he didn't.
President Nelson said he wasn't church.
Any more business?
Well, yeah, what about this sinking thing and stove? Or
something worked out.
You're going to see the pump. The guy that knows.
On the kitchen.
Yeah.
Why don't we have someone look at that? See what give us something.
That's what we're saying.
Yeah, you can buy $35. You can buy a double stainless steel sink. We have the spigots. I see my guy in the book. Can you
sleep all day?
What can you
do? And I want to do. In house goes
to you. Where can you even buy the deposits?
And you can get discounts, can't you?
Right, and well, Mr. Beast
well,
gets
a service
his
for the Lord. I don't have
a special service.
He gets
his robbers, his boss, and his boss, and his boss, and his boss, and his boss,
and his boss, and his boss, and his boss, and his boss, and his boss, and his boss, and his boss, and his boss, and his boss, and his boss, and his boss, and his boss, and his boss, and his boss, and his boss, and his boss, and his boss, and his boss, and his boss, and his boss, and his boss, and his boss, and his boss, and his boss, and his boss, and his boss, and his boss, and his boss, and his boss, and his boss, and his boss, and his boss, and his boss, and his boss, and his boss, and his boss, and his boss, and his boss, and his boss, and his boss, and his boss, and his boss, and his boss, and his boss, and his boss, and his boss, and his boss, and his boss, and his boss, and his boss, and his boss, and his boss, and his boss, and his boss, and his boss, and his boss, and his boss, and his boss, and his boss, and his boss, and his boss, and his boss, and his boss, and his boss, and his boss, and his boss, and his boss, and his boss, and his boss, and his boss, and his boss, and his boss, and his boss, and his boss, and his boss, and his boss, and his boss, and his boss, and his boss, and his boss, and his boss, and his boss, and his boss, and his boss, and his boss, and his boss, It's a medium size. Like a little guy growing, big guy with his brother.
Where do we stand that you, is there
everyone? Two books. Got it. Can you read the two more?
My brother Ben was going to contact the contractor and get his man into the picture.
Yeah,
on this plumbing.
I'm still back in December. We should come to some decision because we take a lot of plans.
Oh, you're talking about the midnight service.
Do we want a Christmas program this year?
I'll check.
Well,
do we want to work on Christmas? Do we want to look at some kind of Christmas program this year?
The ones that I've seen here, I think, are good.
Well, I think it's going on some